Welcome to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. It's Wednesday, and that's our day for the Dakota Political Junkies. We gather some of the top journalists in the state to talk about the most impactful political stories of the week. Today, we welcome Dana Ferguson. She's a watchdog state government and politics reporter for Argus Leader Media. She joins us from Sioux Falls. Dana, welcome back to Dakota Midday.
Thank you for having me, Lori.
You have been busy since the election. If you thought you were going to get a break, you did not. So, we'll just say right now, if you go to argusleader.com, you can see a whole lot of work from Dana Ferguson that's worth checking out. Let's start with a preview of the upcoming legislative session and this sort of early wish list or thoughts from lawmakers about what we have to look forward to.
Sure. So we learned over the weekend who the new leaders are going to be for both the House majority and minority leaders. On the Democratic side of things, there is a hope that lawmakers out in Pierre aren't going to do too much to get rid of initiated Measure 22, which voters approved a couple weeks ago. It deals with ethics reform and campaign finance, and as of now, it's been a little bit of a headache for those out in Pierre who are aiming to put it into place. Democrats, too, really want to see some more clarity on the school funding formula. There have been some uneven distribution problems as far as schools in smaller areas not getting the money they need for teachers, and there's concern about declining enrollment affecting that. On the Republican side of things, leaders want more information and possible changes to IM-22. They think it's not having the impact that it was meant to and that voters were deceived. And they also want to make sure that the state can just balance its budget, which it is constitutionally obligated to do. So I think without that key issue of Medicaid expansion on the table, something we've been talking about for months now, there's sort of a void, and that void in the legislature could be filled by possible repeal or reform of IM-22.
Clarity on the school funding formula, that seems like another one that could get some serious attention as they try to balance the budget and deal with that.
Right.
You asked a set of questions to each individual lawmaker that I thought got some really interesting answers, and one of them was about some set of bills that sort of pulls focus from other things or a surprise measure. Do you want to give us an indication of why you asked that question and what some of those responses were?
Sure. So last year, if you remember, the key issue in the legislature was expected to be teacher pay and trying to see if lawmakers would approve a half-cent sales tax to increase the state's lowest in the nation teacher pay, which ultimately they did. But at times that was overshadowed quite a bit by news about efforts to create additional sort of legal protections for those who want to express their religious freedoms, even if it meant sort of discriminating against others. And there was the very notable transgender bathroom bill, which would have barred certain students from using the bathroom, locker room, or shower room of the gender with which they identify. Ultimately, that was vetoed by the governor, but not without some pretty substantial back-and-forth argument between the ACLU, LGBT groups, and sort of more conservative lawmakers and conservative groups out in Pierre. So my question to legislative leaders was, is there any expectation that some other measure that sort of comes out of left field could become the key issue during the legislative session? And I think there was some recognition that there almost always is some issue that no one really expects that will come up and will take over at least for a little while, but no one seemed to have a clear picture of what that was going to be going into 2017.
And there are some less exciting and more complex sort of and I use the word exciting in jest, of course, but some more complex issues about prescription drug monitoring, nursing homes, and assisted living. What can you tell us about some of the conversations that are happening around prescription drug monitoring?
Yeah. So over the summer, there was a committee formed to consider the state's problems with methamphetamine abuse and opiate or opioid painkiller abuse. Both are on the rise in South Dakota, and law enforcement officers have been dealing with situations involving both on a more frequent basis. So lawmakers wanted to take the chance to learn more about abuse of both of those sort of drugs and see if there was anything that could be done at a legislative level to curb some of that. Coming out of that summer study, they decided they hope to bring legislation next year that will provide additional funding for education on drug prevention, or drug use prevention, rather. And they hope to bring what could be sort of a controversial bill about making sure that physicians know and check the state database that that shows who is being prescribed these opiates, so that doctors hopefully won't be prescribing them if a person has already been prescribed by another physician. But what's interesting is that if they don't check that, or if they check that and prescribe despite someone already having a prescription, they could face civil litigation, which could open doctors in the state up to some pretty serious lawsuits.
So it's not talking about prescriptions, it's over-prescribing and not doing the due diligence. So that will be an interesting one to follow. And what do you know about nursing home beds and what we have to look forward to there?
So another set of lawmakers in a committee looked at that issue over the summer, and they did a pretty thorough investigation as to what the state offers now. There is a moratorium on nursing home and assisted living beds in the state. They are hoping to potentially change the way that that format works so that facilities can sort of sell back and forth if they have too many beds of one kind or another, or trade those off if they're not using them. And they want to have a better assessment, do some sort of investigation into what the state offers in terms of nursing homes and assisted living facilities so that they have a better idea of what might need to be done in the future to provide additional support for the individuals who need those services.
Let's talk a little bit about this nationwide push to convince state electors to break faith with voters, because I have not heard of that before.
Yeah.
So explain to me what that is, and then let's talk about if it's affecting our South Dakota electors.
Right. So USA Today did a bit of an assessment of electors across the country. The presidential electors are going to cast their votes next month, just a couple weeks away here, but across the country, some of them are seeing some harassment from voters or other interest groups, or even some schmoozing, if you can believe it. They're being lobbied to win over their votes, and it's coming from both sides. There are some who are saying that they want those electors to break with the vote, the popular vote in their state, and support either Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, or another candidate. And there are some who are really working hard trying to provide them gifts or incentives, others who are threatening them. In many states, these electors aren't bound by law, so they could become sort of faithless electors, but it's unclear how many are planning to do that at this point.
And what's happening in South Dakota for that? Are we under pressure?
Less pressure in South Dakota. I don't know if that's because the electors here aren't sort of getting the same feedback just because it's a heavily red state. Talking to the state's three electors, Governor Dugard, Lieutenant Governor Michaels and Attorney General Marty Jackley. They all said that they've had some feedback, whether in the form of emails or phone calls from out-of-state groups, mostly encouraging them to vote for Trump or for Clinton. Jackley said it's mostly been form letters coming his way urging him to break with Donald Trump, but all three have said they're planning to support Donald Trump, as that is what the South Dakota voters indicated they would want them to do.
I can't, I'm trying to imagine the fallout from having the state go so heavily for Trump and then having the electors do something different.
That could be messy, yep.
That could be unfortunate for everyone. So let's dig into, you mentioned initiated Measure 22, we mentioned the bathroom bill, we've got a couple minutes left. Let's talk just a little bit about that transgender and privacy sort of issues. Not a done story, though. We're going to hear about it again. How come?
Yeah, so we learned yesterday that there's an individual named Jack Hyde who is based out of Box Elder, and apparently he was not satisfied with the governor's veto of House Bill 1008 last year. That's the measure that would have barred transgender students in public schools from using the bathroom or shower room that most closely fits with their gender identity. He has brought a petition to get that on the ballot in 2018. So voters could be the ones who will ultimately decide on this in South Dakota. It's the first time that any state has considered that as far as its voters. And it'll be very interesting to see if he can get the support that he needs, about 13,000 signatures, to get that measure on the ballot.
Dana Ferguson, we're going to leave Initiated Measure 22 for next time in the interest of time. So I want to say thank you for joining us today. Have a good Thanksgiving.
Thank you so much. You too.